Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 9. A couple of verses from Luke today. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. And then we will turn over to Luke chapter 14 and verse 33.
Okay, first of all, Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And then chapter 14 and verse 33. Jesus again speaking says, So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. You may be seated. When you came in, hopefully you received a little piece of paper that had a ship on it. If you didn't, maybe we could get, Tim, could you grab some more? If anybody didn't get one, could you raise your hand? All right, there's a few that didn't get one then. It's just a little piece of paper with a ship on it. And then maybe you could bring the rest up and sit them on the communion table here, Tim. You'll need that for later on, so just hang on to that little ship. The title of the message this morning is How to Succeed When Others Fail. How to Succeed When Others Fail. What causes some people to succeed while others with equal or even greater opportunities fail? Even in the Christian life, some people are victorious while others struggle and even fail. Some would say that success comes to those who have had the right opportunities. Yet some have been successful because they have created their own opportunities. Others would suggest that having more money makes the difference. However, some of the greatest success stories are about those who started with nothing and through hard work and personal endurance achieved great things. No, there is another factor that the writers of history and the scribes of Scripture record as the decision that makes the difference. And it's illustrated in the life of a 16th century explorer. Even as a boy, Hernando Cortez heard the dazzling stories of the great and richest treasures. Many expeditions attempted to seize it, but they all failed in the process. The treasure had been under the control of the Aztec Empire for 600 years. Cortez studied why the other missions failed, and then he was able to change the things that they did wrong so that he could be successful. And I would like to share those reasons today why he was able to succeed where all other conquistadors and explorers failed. And we will see in the process the reasons why some people are successful in life and others fail. And we will see why even in the Christian life, some people are victorious, successful Christians while others struggle and falter and fail. The first thing that Cortez realized was that for many, the Aztec treasure was a side trip, but Cortez made it his one and only purpose for the expedition. So the other explorers said, oh, let's go try to get the treasure, and they take the side trip, but it wasn't their real reason for the exploration. And you know, there are many Christians who do the same thing. Their Christianity is a side trip to life. The Christian life, as we know it, is compared to a journey. Living a successful Christian life is the one and only purpose for this life. You are here to live a Christian life. That is the purpose God allowed you to be born and put you here. It's not just one of many purposes. It is the only purpose for being on this earth. Our Christianity is not a side trip. It's not a trip that we take to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, what have you, and then we live our and travel our own journey the rest of the week. And the rest of the time we serve ourselves. The Bible tells us that we really have four purposes in life. If you can narrow it down, you really have four purposes for life. The first purpose is to serve God. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua says, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. That was the commitment. He said, I don't care what the rest of you do. You serve whatever gods you want to serve. But I'll tell you right now, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Your purpose in life is to serve the Lord and to see to it that your family serves God. Another purpose for this life is to seek God's kingdom. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Most of you could probably quote this verse for me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You put the Lord first, you seek his kingdom first, and God will make sure that you have everything that you need. See, we don't need to strive for those needs because we serve God and God will take care of our needs. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things that you have need of will be given to you as well. The third purpose for life is to do God's will. John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So your purpose in life is to do the will of God and to finish the work that he began. And the fourth purpose for life is to attain Christ-likeness, to become like Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is a key verse. We're going to come back to this verse later. But the essence here is for us to forget those things which are behind and make the purpose of this life from now on to become like Christ, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and allow the things that happen to us to conform us into the image, the express image of Jesus Christ. Now, these are the only purposes for life. These are not side trips. These should be the focus of your life. How can I serve God? How can I seek God's kingdom? How can I do God's will? How can I attain Christ-likeness? Those are not side trips. That is the reason for you to be here. That is your purpose. But in order to arrive at these purposes, God has given us unique and individual purposes as well. There is unique and individual purposes that are tailor-made for you. And in order to achieve those purposes, you have to chart your course spiritually and practically. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4 says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You must have a plan. A lot of people are graduating this year. Graduates, you got to have a plan. You got to have a course of action. You need to know what God's plan is for you, what his unique calling and plan and will is for you. And then you have to know what you want, and you have to move toward it. You have to move forward to it. Otherwise, as someone once said, blessed is he who aims at nothing, for he shall succeed. Do you have a target? Have you charted a course that will help you reach your point of expedition? To discover new oceans and unseen land beyond the horizon, you must first let the shoreline disappear. You must let the shoreline disappear from sight. You see, we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, I wish God would just sometimes, you know, just reveal everything about your life all at once. But he doesn't do that. He takes you step by step by step. And then we wonder, you know, God is so good that he is able to take us to this point in our lives. But be willing to step out in faith, knowing that you are walking in the will of God. Let the shoreline go. Lose sight of it. Let the shoreline go. You know, there's an old hymn that we used to sing, launch out into the deep. Oh, let the shorelines go, launch out, in the oceans divine, out where the full tides flow. flow. Two Voyager pilots invested their savings and bet their lives on a dream born from doodlings on a restaurant napkin in 1981. What kind of world would there be, these two asked, if there were no daring? So they dreamed big dreams and plotted a course that eventually took them into the cramped cockpit of an experimental plane on a nonstop flight around the world. I want to challenge you today to dream big dreams. Dream big dreams. Have goals. Have a vision for your life. Know what God's will is for your life. And then set a course so that you can spiritually and practically make it to that point. The reason that Cortez succeeded while others failed was because he didn't make the purpose of the expedition a side trip. He made it the sole purpose of the trip. You will succeed in the Christian life if you make the purpose of your life. You build the purpose of your life around those four things that we mentioned. You make Christianity the purpose of your life and not just a side trip, and you'll be successful. You can apply that to many different areas of life. You make that your goal. You make that your purpose in life, and you will succeed. But if it's just one of many things that you're going to attempt and try to do, you'll falter and you'll fail. The second reason why some of the expeditions failed was because many of the soldiers in previous expeditions were not committed to the goal. Many of the soldiers were not committed to the goal. You see, they had been hired to explore, not to fight. Therefore, Cortez enlisted the best soldiers that he could find. And you know, first of all, as Christians, we are soldiers. When you become a Christian, you join an army. You join a fight. You join an army of believers. We have a captain. The captain of our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is looking for soldiers who are committed. And he is looking for soldiers who are committed to God's goal. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You have been chosen to be a soldier, and the encouragement and the exhortation to you there is to endure the hardships and the trials of life so that you can be a good soldier. And the thing that you are to be concerned about is not the affairs of this life, but how you may please Christ who has chosen you and called you to be a soldier. Now listen, we fail in the Christian life, in other undertakings of life, if we have the attitude of an explorer and not a soldier. Many people go through this life exploring. Exploring God's will, exploring this, exploring that. They think that life is just one big trip to explore, one great big adventure. They go through life as an explorer and not as a soldier. But you are called to be a dedicated soldier. You are called to fight, and you are called to fight your entire life. It's not just a battle that we are in, it's a war. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow once said, "Great is the art of beginning, but greater the art of finishing." Paul knew what it was to finish. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." In fact, Paul describes three people later on in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, or chapter 4, who began their course with good intentions. But only two of them made it to the end. Only two of them made it to the finish line. The first was Demas. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Think about this for a moment. Demas was surrounded by good men. He was surrounded by strong soldiers. I mean, how many of you think that you had the opportunity to minister right alongside the Apostle Paul, that you would make it? Demas had that opportunity, and yet he didn't make it. Paul, in sorrow of words, says he's departed because he loved the present world too much. He loved the world more than he loved Christ. He began a good course, but he never finished it. He was on an expedition. He was never able to say, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. He had a dream, but his dream faded because he was not able to endure hardness. In verse 11, Paul refers to another man. 2 Timothy 4:11, he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Mark was a man who turned failure into triumph, disaster into destiny. He was restored after a stumbling. Mark was the young man who deserted Paul because of some hardships during one of the missionary journeys. Barnabas, the encourager, talked Paul into giving Mark a second chance. This time, Mark came back to finish his course in the face of failure and ridicule. And what an honor for Paul to record his name in the Bible with this comment, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're like Mark. You have failed before. I would encourage you today to put the past behind you and put the future before you. You can look at yourself and say, you know, I'm not really sure that I can endure hardship. I'm not really sure that I could endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you today to be a Mark. Be a Mark and not a Demas. Don't give up now. You know, God has called you to be one who finishes his or her course. He has promised to complete the work that he has begun in you. The third person described in this chapter is Paul himself. Verses 5 through 8 tell of this great warrior of God who had a goal, paid the price for it, and made it come to pass. But Paul had a secret strength which enabled him to finish the course. And it's revealed to us in later on, you have to keep reading there in verses 17 and 18. Why was Paul able to stay on course his entire life? Why, when he got to the end, was he able to say, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. He had a secret. Secret is verses 17 and 18. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What was Paul's secret? His secret was the Lord stood with him. I want you to know today that if you make the decision to be a good soldier and not an explorer, if you make the decision to be a soldier, the Lord will stand with you. And the Lord will give you the strength and the grace to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And you too will be able to make it to the finish line and be able to say the same things as Paul said, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You do what you can do to be a soldier, and God will provide the strength that you need to get through. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3 describes people who are enslaved to this world's system. It says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. See, there are people that live for the moment. They're exploring. They're exploring fun and pleasure. They forget the long-range goals. They forget why they're here. They forget the purpose of life. They forget God's goals, God's will. They meet their own selfish desires. A life that is lived like that is doomed to sorrow and failure. And sadly enough, we live in a society that has gone pleasure crazy. For many, pleasure is the highest priority in life. How can I have more fun? How can I have more pleasure? And you know, the Apostle Paul foresaw this situation when he wrote that the people of the last days will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That warning holds true for us today. And 1 Timothy 5:6 says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Proverbs 21:17 adds to that insight, he who loves pleasure will become a poor man. And Jesus referred to this person when he said in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. You see, despite their pursuit of pleasure, their inner condition is miserable. And Proverbs 14:13 says, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that myrrh is heaviness. Am I saying that you can't have fun and pleasure? I'm not saying that at all. In fact, I would say to you that at the right hand of the Lord there are pleasures forevermore. The greatest joys in life come from serving and knowing God. That's where true and lasting joy is. The rest is just superficial happiness. It's pleasure that is enjoyed only for a season. But if you want lasting, eternal joy, you'll only find it as you find God, as you find Christ. Please ask yourself this question. In my life, or am I on an expedition? Am I an explorer? Or do I realize that I'm a soldier? It's important that you answer that question correctly, because your success might hinge on it. Your success very well could hinge on it. Cortez men succeeded because they were soldiers, not explorers. And the third factor that caused previous men and explorers to lose and be defeated was a lack of personal commitment by the leader of each attempt. A lack of personal commitment by the leader of each attempt. Cortez sold his possessions and invested them in the purchase of 11 ships and their equipment. He then set out on his mission. You cannot win without a personal commitment and a personal investment. That's why Jesus told the pearl of great price. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You want to be successful in the kingdom of God, you make that your pearl of great price. And be willing to sell everything that you might gain that pearl. Someone said that, or Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So you know that in order for you to be able to do something with all of your heart, you have to invest a treasure there. I mean, there are some people that they just don't do things with their whole heart. They're half-hearted. You've heard that statement. And they're not really that successful. But somebody, even without a lot of talent and ability, if they do it with all of their heart, they're successful. Somebody said that earthly subtraction is heavenly addition. Someone else has said treasures in heaven are only laid up as treasures on earth are laid down. The Apostle Paul, and the Pauline epistle, spends a great deal of time convincing the Christian that his truest riches are spiritual, not earthly, and that he is to set his affections on things above, not on the things of this earth, and that we are to live in the light of our heavenly home and the immediate return of our Lord. The treasures are listed for us specifically in 1 Corinthians 3:12. They're defined as gold, Christ's deity, silver, which is redemption, and precious stones, which are men and women, one to Christ. The treasures are to be put in the heavenly savings company. The only stocks and bonds that Paul ever owned were on his feet and on his hands. I'm not saying you shouldn't have stocks. I'm not saying you shouldn't have bonds. I'm not saying they shouldn't have those things. But I would challenge you to check where your heart is in those things. Along the way, some of Cortez's men began to murmur and complain. So when Cortez landed on the Yucatan Peninsula, he trained his men on the beach, and then he took the step that would turn any warrior into a man of valor. He gave the command, destroy the ships. Burn the ships. He said there is not going to be any retreat. There is no way that we can retreat. We are going to burn the ships that would take us back to where we were. And then with 500 men, they marched in and they did what no other group of men had ever done before. They seized the treasure. Do you want to know why some people are successful and other people fail? Because some people burn the ships that would take them back in life. I've heard many people and seen many people, you know, they say if the Christian life doesn't work out, if Christianity doesn't work out, I'll just go back to the world. I've seen people as they get married, they say, if our marriage doesn't work out, we'll just get a divorce. There are all kinds of ways that we go back. We make commitments, but we leave something hanging there as a way to go back and renege on the commitments that we make. I want to challenge you today that if there is any lessons in your life, any commitments that you've made, and you've kept ties so that just in case things don't work out, you can go back. I would challenge you today to burn the ships, destroy the ships. Cortez's men were stunned as they saw it actually happening. The ships that would take them back home if needed were being burned. Cortez announced there is no retreat. And I would just encourage you, I would like to instill that in you today, that when you become a Christian, there is no retreat. There is no going back. From this day forth, you will serve the Lord. You are committed to that. You're committed to being a Christian. There's no retreat. Either we win or we die, Cortez said. And they seized the treasure. The reason why they were victorious while others were defeated was because they burned the ships. Squadrons on bombing missions in World War II experienced a similar determination when they passed the point of no return. It was either to complete the mission or crash. Jesus said it this way, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And he said, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Now you can be a Christian. You can be a Christian and hang on to things, but you can't be a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, unless you forsake the things that you have. Unless you burn the ships. If you are going to succeed at anything, you have to burn the ships that would take you back. There is no retreat. Don't even look back. Lot's wife looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. Don't even look back. Looking back will weigh you down. You must not let the past determine your future. Put it behind you. Burn it. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know what Paul is saying here? Paul is saying that if you do this one thing, if you do this one thing, you will be successful. This one thing is the reason why many people succeed and others fail. This one thing makes ordinary Christians extraordinary. This one thing separates winners from losers. This one thing explains why some Christians are victorious and other Christians are defeated. Burn the past and look to the future. Forget the things which are before, behind you, and press forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Burn the ships that would take you back. Burn the provision and the link that could take you back. Make the decision to not turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The greatest obstacle to you burning the ships is you. The important word here is discipline. Discipline is doing what doesn't come natural. I'm sure that Cortez did not really want to burn those ships. I'm sure that his men didn't want to burn those ships. But they did what didn't come natural. And though it's hard, it's the key to taking charge. It's the key to being successful. getting to the place where you can burn the ship. You know that often the only thing that separates a winner from a loser is a decision. The decision to win. Only you can decide to win. If it was up to me, I'd make the choice for you this morning. I'd decide you were going to be a winner. I'd burn all the ships in your life. But I can't do that. Only you can. Only you can decide to win. Only you can win when others lose. Only you can soar while others sink. But I do know that you've been called to be a winner. And I want to challenge you to become a winner in a world of quitters and losers. Your natural birth, your circumstances, and what others have told you don't determine whether or not you'll be a winner and a success. Winning is a matter of decision. Right now, you can decide to become one of God's winners in this life, in your circumstances, right where you live. What are those decisions? There are three this morning. The first one, make the Christian life the only purpose for the expedition. Make the Christian life the only purpose for you. Don't make the Christian life another thing that you do. Don't make it a side trip. Make it the purpose for life. Number two, be a soldier. Have the mindset of a soldier, not of an explorer. And be committed to the goal. And number three, become personally committed. Become personally committed. Invest your own treasures. Be personally committed. And destroy the ships. One last thought this morning. What is the treasure that we are after? Cortez and his men, they wanted this treasure so bad that they were able to do what we talked about this morning and do what nobody else had done in order to get it. Why did they want the treasure so bad? Why do we as Christians want the treasure so bad? And what is the treasure? The treasure is Christ himself. Philippians 3:8 says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Paul says, I give up everything that I may win one thing, that I might win the treasure that is Christ, that I might win Christ. I just have to leave you with a note here. And the Encyclopedia Britannica reports that Cortez burned his ships, while some other sources state that he grounded them on the beach and used the wood for building. But in either case, he destroyed the ships. And that's the hardest of these points to do this morning. But that's what I would challenge you to do. Burn the ships that would take you back from the commitments that you made. Maybe you're making provisions that could take you back to the world. I would encourage you today to burn those provisions. Anything that would hinder you from really serving the Lord, I would like you to burn. As you came in this morning, you got that little ship, that little piece of paper. I want you to think of that as things that hinder you in your walk to the Lord, with the Lord, from being fully committed, or things that could cause you to go back or to look back. I'm going to give you a chance to burn it this morning. Or maybe you're here and you've never resolved in your heart that no matter what happens, I'm going to serve Christ. And as far as I am concerned, there is no going back whatsoever. There is no turning back. And maybe you just need to solidify that commitment this morning. This ship is just a way to symbolize what you're going to do spiritually today. So could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I just would like you to think about what's been said. And I'd like you to make three commitments this morning. Number one, to commit your life to Christ, that it would be the purpose for your expedition. Christ is the purpose of your life. The second commitment is to be a soldier. Not an explorer, but a soldier committed to the goal. And the third commitment is to be personally committed and destroy the ships that could take you back. Heavenly Father, today I pray that you would help us to be able to think of those things that are hindering us from truly winning you. Lord, those things that are there tempting us to go back to the world, or those provisions that we have made just in case our commitments don't work out. I pray, Lord, then that you would give us the grace to be able to burn and destroy those ships today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are privileged today to have Caleb Geoffrey with us from South Dakota, some friends of ours. Caleb is a young man that I appreciate. We've known his family for a number of years. Caleb's a godly young man. Unfortunately, his older brother has made some wrong decisions and choices. See, living in a Christian family does not guarantee that you're not going to go back to the world. And his older brother didn't burn some ships, and he's gone back to the world. And you know what could happen to any of us unless we make a firm resolve and a commitment to burn the ships that would take us back to the world? Until we make the decision, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. So what I have today is some lighters up here for you and a bowl. I would just like you to come, put your ship, hold your ship over the bowl, burn it, drop the ashes in the bowl. Could you all stand, please? You might be coming up here for a number of different reasons today. But I really suspect that most of us, myself included, I have some ships to burn today. And if you've never even simply made the decision, never thought about it, no matter what happens, like Bill was talking about in Sunday school, he said just a few weeks ago, he said, "Lord, I'm ready to follow you even if it means death." If you've never said that to the Lord, come up here and burn the ship as your way of saying that today. As you come, let's sing the chorus, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back." There are a few extra ships up here, not many. Somebody might say, "Well, you know, I got a couple ships I want to burn." You can burn till the paper's gone, or you can let your one ship symbolize all the ships that you'd like to burn. Could we come as we begin to sing? I have decided to follow
to follow.
A solemn moment, isn't it, as you watch your ships burn? That means no retreat. No retreat. But it also means you're going to win the treasure. The end result is we win Christ. And it'll be worth the battle. It'll be worth the fight. Yes. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus.